preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
We are thankful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our study in 2 Timothy chapter 2, which really is outlining for us and explaining the responsibilities of those who serve in the church, explaining the nature of the struggle that is happening in the church and what are those responsibilities of those set apart by the Lord to serve. Now, this has been a very difficult situation in the church in Ephesus. There have been those who, doctrinally speaking, and today doctrine has taken such a back seat to everything else, we have to recognize that doctrine is very important. What we believe defines who we are. What we believe determines where we're going. This is crucial this morning to what it is to be a Christian. And one of the attacks of the devil is to corrupt the truth. Behind the scenes in Ephesus, you had certain individuals who were actually overthrowing, upsetting, leading people into apostasy. It's coming. The Apostle Paul warned. The Apostle Paul warned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that in the last days, perilous times will come. It means that dangerous seasons will come. The church is always facing these seasons of attack where the devil is influencing and transplanting his wolves among the people who come as angels of light with a different message. And they here it says, you'll notice with Hymenaeus and Philetus, it says, are of this sort, who've strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. This is happening. 1 Timothy chapter 4 has something very powerful when it says, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will defect from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And we are fools if in 2011, in our churches, we think we won't be hit with an attack like this. Now, the apostles said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you know what this does to a church body? When the warfare breaks open, when this kind of attack happens and people's minds are affected, when the devil gets in and overthrows people, what happens over time to the Christian? Those who've been through the warfare, those who have been through the fight, those who have seen churches divide, those who've seen churches split, those who've seen abuse in the life of the church, mass discouragement sets in. They become weary of the fight. They grow tired of it, they are weary of the warfare, and they lose hope. They lose hope. What's it all worth? Should I even remain in this kind of environment? And in our day, you can get about anything you want. So certain kinds of ministries are very attractive today to people who've been through the warfare. Churches where everything stays so much on the surface, the devil leaves it alone because there's not even enough truth to attack. So the Apostle Paul is really encouraging this church, encouraging Timothy, as he describes something that is immensely important for anyone who serves in the church of Jesus Christ to understand. Verse 19 says it, nevertheless, so even though this warfare is happening, even though in Ephesus, Hymenaeus and Philetus have overthrown the faith of some, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What's he saying? What is the solid foundation amidst all of this conflict? Well, he's already told us the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, meaning that God has promised that his church will continue to be the place, even amidst all of this conflict, that he will preserve his truth. Jesus was serious when he said the gates of hell will not prevail. And that should be a source of real encouragement to you who have been through the war, you've seen the fighting, you feel the temptation to walk away from it all. It's interesting to me here how the apostle encourages the church in Ephesus. Do you find it strange, this combination? Listen to this verse again. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm convinced the apostle was citing something out of the Old Testament that was one of Israel's worst conflicts on the way to the Promised Land. This is Numbers 16 and the rebellion of Korah. Korah had led a total rebellion against God aimed at Moses and Aaron. Now, 250 of Israel's leaders, all the strong men, had lined up behind Korah. In a moment, the devil had brought the whole camp into disarray. In fact, in verse 19, it says all the congregation had gathered against Moses. This was about one of the worst moments in Israel's history, because the whole Exodus, the whole operation, almost went down in flames. The devil had spread a net and had caught Israel in it. In Numbers 16, verse 4, Moses weeps. Listen to what he says in verse 5. He spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show those who are his." Now listen to verse 26. "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men." Now, if you were to compare 2 Timothy 2 and put this side by side, listen to this. Here it is. The solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Numbers 16:5. "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show those who are his." And this is back to 2 Timothy. "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Numbers 16:25. "Depart from the tents of these wicked men." You see what Paul's doing here? He's taking this awful example, this awful scenario in Israel's history, to remind the church today, comparing it to the situations that happen in the church today, to encourage the church that the foundation will always stand. The church is the place where God preserves his truth. But we have to understand the nature of the church. We're very ignorant as to the makeup of the church. And what he does is explain the reality, and then he gives three practical ways for the church, the people in the church, to encourage them to be useful for the Lord in his kingdom. Verse 20. "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor." The apostle employs something very common that the people would have understood. We understand this. In your homes, there are vessels that you use and you want people to see. There are nice dishes. There's nice vases you put out. But then there are vessels that are used for trash and excrement. It would be a shame to put those vessels out. You know, I would think you're very strange if you had a toilet right in the middle of your living room. The contrast here is very extreme. It's one we know. He's talking about the house, the church. Hymenaeus and Philetus, he has already said, are there. They are of this sort. They are unprofitable. They are vessels for dishonor. So in any given church, there are vessels of honor that are useful for the master. They are like gold in the Lord's house. They are worthy of great honor. In fact, the Lord commands that those who are serving the ministry of the word, ministering the word, should be held with double honor. There are some in the house for very noble purposes, and then there are those who are dishonorable. Now, Paul makes another distinction here, which is important to note. There are vessels of gold, and there are vessels of silver. Some vessels are behind the scenes, aren't they? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 12, that those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. So there is a distinction in the body. There's a distinction in the gifts and distinction in the service. But then there's another reality. In a given house, in a given church, there are actually vessels for dishonor. Paul has called them like gangrene. They are like gangrene spreading over the members of the house. Their talk spreads it. They're in the house. Paul wept over the body in Ephesus because remember what he said before he left. There will be those who will come in and not spare the flock. And then he said, there will be those who rise up from among yourselves who will draw away disciples after themselves. Jude warned that men creep in unnoticed. They overturn the gospel. It's always been interesting to me that the seventh deadly sin in Proverbs 6, you know what it is? Here's the seventh deadly sin. One who sows discord, where in the world? No. One who sows discord among the brethren. So this is what the Apostle Paul is discussing here. You know, it's easy to say in this particular case, well, the Lord knows those who are His, so nothing we can do about that. That's not what's being said. Never do we read these like the hyper-Calvinists do. This is a motivation to action. The motivation is to be maximally useful to the master. So this is what he says in verse 19. He says that the Lord knows those who are His, but the evidence of that, that will prove one is His, is what? Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What does that look like? That's the focus of this section. Three very practical applications are given in light of this awful reality happening in the house. And I believe today, if the church would sincerely honor this and strive for this, it would make for a very powerful and useful church to Jesus Christ. Because remember, today the church tolerates every sin under the sun. You can run to a church today. They won't question your behavior. They won't question whether you're living in sin. They open the doors to you. God is love. And in the name of acceptance, in the name of receiving, in the name of tolerance, you can go to a church today and not be pressed about your life. The Lord calls His people to holiness. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what we're studying this week. So, are we vessels of honor or are we vessels of dishonor in the house? Are we like gold and silver or like vessels that dishonor the Lord? May we all ask today that we would be maximally useful for the master in His kingdom. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.